We'll go beyond the oil and stock prices to talk about economic and social renewal in what had been a place of horror.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and the economy. The price of oil bounced up 1% this morning, but it's still down near a five-year low, meaning oil companies are slashing their spending. For instance, ConocoPhillips said it's cutting 20% next year and will slow activity in U.S. shale oil and gas exploration. BP is expected to announce layoffs tomorrow. We've been covering how low oil prices are a boon for drivers and people heating their homes this winter, but today, Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson looks at what could happen to oil company employees.
There's simply an oversupply of oil right now. Too much supply means prices fall, and when prices fall, oil companies have to cut back. Jeffrey Grossman is the president of BRG Brokerage.
All your frackers, all your shale oil people had all their models calculated probably about $85 oil. I don't know their numbers off the top of my head, but these numbers now suddenly, got to run for the hills now.
Because the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries recently voted not to decrease production, Torben Schues, chief oil analyst at Norway's DNB Markets, says U.S. production might have to fall.
I think projects in Texas and North Dakota will be hit through lower activity, yes, because that's the only thing that can balance the market now.
Schues expects most oil companies will also cut spending and investment in new projects as well as jobs, and maybe even investor dividends. But he says that would be a last resort. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
There's evidence the gap between rich and poor in most of the world's developed countries is the widest in 30 years. The Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development said today the wealthiest 10% of the population earns 9.5 times the income of the poorest 10%, compared to only 7 times as much in the 1980s. Reporting from London, here's the BBC's business correspondent Theo Leggett.
The report suggests that inequality causes measurable economic damage. It claims that between 1990 and 2010, the increasing wealth gap reduced GDP growth by an average of 8.5% across the 34 OECD countries. The organisation says lower-income households are less able to invest in education and suggests that this impedes social mobility and the development of skills. It argues that the most effective policy for addressing the wealth gap remains redistribution through taxes and benefits, which it states emphatically does not itself harm economic growth. However, it concedes that redistribution policies that are poorly targeted and do not focus on the most effective tools can be inefficient and waste resources.
The BBC's Theo Leggett on the line from London there. Now let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 1%. The key stock index in Shanghai reversed its 4% surge on Monday, falling more than 4% today after China reined in risky lending with new restrictions on collateral. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 0.3% range now. Now to steps toward renewal in Central Africa. Eastern Congo has borne horrors for decades, war, rape, and chaos. Rival militias fought over power and valuable minerals, leaving death and despair. Now the region has cautiously entered a period of peace and reconstruction. For all the reporting that the region's descent into chaos attracted, we thought it was time to pay some attention to how it's getting back on its feet. Marketplace's Sabri Benishor just returned from Eastern Congo and has this profile of a former child soldier's efforts to put her life back together.
At the Love restaurant in Bukavu, a woman named Rachel is serving pasta and fried fish. Her past, much like this region's, is complex and fraught. In 1996, Rachel was 16. Neighboring Rwanda's genocidal ethnic war had been spilling into Congo for several years, bringing economic, political, and personal chaos to millions of people. Rachel was one of those people.
My family had left. They fled when the soldiers were coming, but I had returned to the house. I was trying to hide. They came into the house, 5 or 6 soldiers, and they raped me.
Rachel stayed with an elderly neighbor for a few months, but decided to leave.
I didn't feel like I had any value in the neighborhood anymore, so I decided to become a soldier. I wanted people to fear me, to respect me.
She joined the Mai Mai rebel group, one of dozens rampaging through eastern Congo, as the social fabric and infrastructure of the region became unmoored. She was among thousands of child soldiers in Congo at the time, and she says people did fear her.
They knew that I could kill them or hit them or do something to them, that I had the capacity and spirit to do so.
When fighting began to calm down, her group agreed to merge with the Congolese army, which represented the same forces who'd raped her years before.
I deserted and came to Bukavu, and they arrested me in Bukavu.
In prison, she became pregnant. Out of prison, making a life proved tough. What once made her feared now made her suspect.
People said, "That's a soldier. She'll kill us. She'll be a thief."
She became a prostitute for a time. Another child and a failed marriage later, she decided to learn a trade. Here, in this test kitchen at a school for ex-combatants, she started learning how to cook.
I studied hospitality, hotel services.
Behind Rachel, shimmery lavender bows and pleated white fabric cover the walls and table.
All of these decorations here, I did them.
There are buffet trays full of plantains and rice awaiting special guests.
I can cook anything in the Congolese kitchen. Not so much your European food, but any Congolese food you like, I can do.
Rachel caters. She makes street food. She likes to make wedding cakes. She has two kids now and pays their way to school. One day, Rachel wants to work in a hotel.
I don't think about the past.
In Bukavu, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
The U.S. dollar has become Congo's hard currency, with some of the dollar bills so withered and thrashed they look like they've been through a fire. That story as Marketplace's Congo series continues tomorrow. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Meg Kramer. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.